Today we're going to talk to you about expecting the impossible. Expecting the impossible. One of the things that is interesting to me is that we say that we understand that God is the God that can do everything. We say that we serve an all-powerful God. We say that we understand that when Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me, that that meant all power. Which means there is nothing that's outside of the realm of possibility with God. Yet, we approach life and we approach things, and especially the things God assigns for us to do, we approach it as if, because we have limitations, God has limitations. And so I'm going to talk to you today about getting beyond your limitations and understanding, you know, who God is and how God wants to work. And listen, it doesn't change anything about what you're experiencing in the earth. Sometimes people think that, you know, because I believe God, that means everything that I'm experiencing in the earth is supposed to change. Guess what? It doesn't change anything you're experiencing in the earth. The only thing that it changes is how you experience what you're experiencing in the earth. Are you hearing me? So my understanding of who God is, my understanding of his supernatural ability, it changes how I experience the world around me. Because I understand that the things that I'm experiencing, they're not greater than the God that I serve. Even when it seems like they're trying to overwhelm me. Can somebody help me? Now, we used our title, we picked our title very carefully because we used the word expecting. Expecting the impossible. And you'll see why in a minute. Let's go to, I think it was scriptures next. Let's go to a scripture. We're going to read this entire passage in Luke because I want you to see something here. Scripture, please. This is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Here's what it says. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. The angel departed from her. The word expecting evokes a different thought than waiting. The word expecting is even different than the word anticipating. See, right now, my daughter's sitting here. She's expecting. In just a little while, she She ain't going to be expecting no more. She's going to serve an eviction notice. But right now, she's expecting. The first thing that happens when you're really expecting something, when you're really, see, when we're talking about expecting the impossible, we're talking about being pregnant with all the possibilities, even though it seems impossible. And so when a woman first gets pregnant, it takes a while. She's 2 weeks pregnant. Nobody knows. She's 3 weeks pregnant. Nobody knows. She's 4 weeks pregnant. She might not have even told her husband yet. But guess what? Eventually, her body is going to tell the story for her. Because when you're really expecting something, you have to change in order to birth what it is you're expecting. And so sometimes we're talking about we're expecting God to do the impossible, but we're not willing to change who we are and how we see the world and how we see God in order for God to be all the God that he can be in our situation. In other words, we want God to move. We just want him to move our way. Let me make it plain. Lord, I know you told me you was going to give me a husband, but I need him to be 6'2". I need him to be 215 pounds. He needs to have a 36-inch waist. Oh, y'all know how y'all do. We're just going to tell God exactly how we want him to do it. And Lord, I don't want to meet him on a Saturday night, because I'm not at my best on Saturday night. I need you to send him to me on a Thursday. I'm usually good on Thursday because I get off work early on Thursday. We're going to tell God how to do it, not understanding that it is us who needs to do the changing to give birth to the impossible. Are you hearing me? See, it would be crazy. Y'all would be ready to commit my poor baby to the mental hospital if she was talking about, I don't know why I'm gaining all this weight. Your body's getting ready to do something it can't do without you gaining a little weight. See, we don't want to go through the change that it takes to birth the impossible. First point, right here. We must first believe that he is God of the impossible. We must first believe that he is God of the impossible. Now, let me tell you why I put this here. Because, like I said, sometimes we say, oh, God can do anything. God can do it. But we don't really believe it. Because unlike what we think in our culture, believe is not a thought process. That's not what it means to believe. The way the Bible describes believe. That's why we have this whole idea about faith that is totally unbiblical. We think faith is how I think about God. That ain't true. That's not true. See, the way the Bible describes believe, believe is based on what you do. Mm-hmm. See, if you're not doing something, then you don't believe. In other words, you can tell that I believe in marriage because I've been married to the same woman for 34 years. I'm still doing marriage today. Today she's going to tell me what to do. I ain't going to like it, but I'm still going to have to do it. It's based on what you do. So we have to act like we know he's the God of the impossible. We have to act like, you know, there's no limits on him. We have to act like everything is possible just because he's on our side. And we have to approach life as if every opportunity for him to show up and show how great he is, I'm just waiting to join the party. Whenever he wants to, he can do it. Are you hearing me? Watch this scripture. This is what the angel said. He said, for nothing will be impossible with God. For nothing will be impossible. Now, somebody tell me, what's the word nothing means? No thing. It's a compound word. No thing is impossible with God. Well, you know, they told me that I got 3 arteries clogged. No thing is impossible with God. They told me I'm not going to live another week. No thing is impossible with God. They told me they're going to foreclose on me. No thing is impossible with God. See, we've got this idea, and here's the thing. When you understand how powerful God is, then guess what the other thing you have to learn is that if nothing's impossible with God, then here's the catch-all. This ain't in the notes, but here's the catch-all. God don't need my help. Now that's the one that'll help you. It'll really set you free when you understand that God doesn't need my help. Here's what God needs from me. If nothing's impossible for him, the only thing he needs from me is complete obedience. That's all he needs from me. He needs obedience and submission from me. He needs to know that when he says, go left, I'm going to go left. See, y'all go left eventually. Yeah. That's how we do it. We go left eventually, then we want to tell God, well, I obeyed. No, I said go left. You made 3 rights, and then you made a left. He needs complete obedience. See, complete obedience becomes easier when you understand his all-sufficiency. See, there's some things that we don't talk about in the church anymore. We don't talk about the all-sufficiency of God. We don't talk about the sovereignty of God. Okay? What these things mean is that God is sufficient for every situation. But he's also sovereign. And so what that means is he gets to determine how he's going to move in your situation. You don't get to determine how that's going to happen. You don't get to say, well, I want it to happen like this. God's sitting up there going, yeah, okay. How about nothing happen? Let's see how you handle that. Next. Matthew 19:26, it says, and looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. But with God, all. Now somebody tell me things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Somebody tell me the Greek word for all. Somebody tell me the Hebrew word for all. I got a room full of Bible scholars, okay? So we know that this is Jesus speaking, and this is what he's talking to them about. He's talking to them about salvation, and he literally says to them, he says, it is harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. This one statement has created so much theological debate as people try to understand what is the allegory here? What's the metaphor here? Is he speaking metaphorically, or is there actually a place in Israel called the eye of a needle? You know, here's what Jesus said. He's saying, it's hard for human beings, but for God, it ain't hard. That's literally what he's saying here. He's also saying that if you can believe in salvation, you ought to be able to believe in anything. Did y'all get that? Because he says, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man. It's harder for a rich man to get in heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, right? Then the next thing he says is, because they asked him, they said, well, how can anybody be saved? He said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So in other words, if I can believe for the possibility of salvation, I ought to be able to believe for anything. If he can save me, I know y'all wasn't that bad, so I'm just put it on me. I know y'all got saved because it was a good idea. Y'all just thought y'all would do God a favor. Now, I know all that kind of stuff. But me, I was hell on wheels. So, you know, if he could save me, then he can do anything. How can God use somebody like her? How does God use somebody like you? Next. We must acknowledge our inability to do the impossible. This is the one that will set you free. You have to acknowledge that you're incapable of doing it without God. I got a friend, he used to pastor in Defiance, Ohio. Yes, there is a city named Defiance. Defiance, Ohio. He used to pastor in Defiance, Ohio. And he now lives in Orlando. And he told me the story, and it was very similar to my story. He told me the story. He said, I knew God had called me to a healing ministry. He said, I knew he had. He said, but I kept praying for people, and nobody was getting healed. He said, in fact, the more people I prayed for, the worse it got. He said, I was praying for folks to get healed, and they would get sicker. I was praying for folks to get healed. They were dying. He said, I went to God like, he said, and one day I was at the altar. This lady comes to me, and she said, I have this condition. She said, can you please lay hands on me so I can be healed? And he looked at her with tears in his eyes. He said, lady, he said, I'm sorry, but I can't heal you. He said, I'm sorry, but I can't heal you. She said, well, will you just lay hands on me? He laid hands on her. She got healed. What was the key? He acknowledged his inability. He acknowledged, I cannot do this. Y'all want to know something? Can I have a transparent moment here without y'all throwing stuff at me and thinking I ain't saved? One of the things I tell God all the time, and I constantly tell him this, I say, I don't know how to pastor people. I constantly tell God that. I don't know how to pastor people. I don't know how to build a church. The Bible literally says this. It says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain, that buildeth it. So I constantly tell him, I talk to him about my inabilities. I talk to him about my insufficiencies. I talk to him about my insecurities, that I don't have the capacity for this. I don't know why you called me this. Then he sends people to tell me stuff that he has planned for me, and I'm sitting here going, look, we ain't dealt with the other stuff yet. How are you going to tell me some new stuff? No. This is how I talk to him. I'm like, I'm still working out this other stuff over here. Here you come talking about some new stuff. I ain't ready for that. See, you got to get real with God. See, so many of us, the church has taught us to play church. The church has taught us to play saved. They taught us to play spiritual, taught us to play like we so holy. Let me tell you something. On your best day, you ain't holy. None of us are. And so stop letting yourself feel pressure that you gotta be something you're not. I just gotta be who God designed me to be. Hey, guess what? If you don't like it, complain to the manufacturer. Scripture. Verse 34, Luke 1:34, Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? In other words, how can this be when I don't know nothing about this? How can this be when I have never experienced what it takes for this to happen? How can this be when I have no carnal knowledge of this? Now, she's about, most theologians say, between the age of 13 and 15 years old. She's 13 to 15 years old. At 13 to 15 years old, I bet you she's figured out how this happens. She just knows it can't happen here because I haven't gone to first base, let alone, you know. And so what I saw here was God, listen, God doesn't even need you to have knowledge of what he's telling you to do. He just needs you to be submitted to his process. See, and too often we want to help God and we want to start talking about how much we know. Listen, I was so upset, God. I spent all this, you know, you would think a guy who spent 40 years preaching the gospel, a guy who spent the last 7 years before we started this church, I spent 7 years studying effective church planting. How to plant a church and have a mega church in 3 months. I went through all kinds of classes, man. I'm telling you. And then I get to where God is about to tell me to do this. And I go on my knees, Karen, and I say to God, I say, Lord, all this stuff I've learned, what do you want me to use to plant this church? He said, I don't want none of that junk. I said, huh, what? Say what? So what we been doing here? What? He said, I don't know what you've been doing. See, we think God needs our help. See, this was somebody who was acknowledging, I can't help in this because I don't know nothing about it. Are you hearing me? I think I got another scripture here. Excuse me. This is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Paul says, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I told you. See, you're talking about expecting the impossible. The impossible can't even be released to you until you get to the end of yourself. When you get to the end of your ability, that's when the impossible becomes possible. Are you, let me give you another example. The Bible tells a story of Jesus, and Jesus has sent his disciples. Now listen to me. You got to understand what's happening here. He had told his disciples to get in the boat. They're going across a lake, y'all. This ain't the ocean. This is a lake. The Bible's very clear. This is a lake. Okay? This is a small body of water. Jesus tells them, go to the other side. I'll meet you over there. They get out into the middle of the lake. Storm comes up. Waters, waves, wind, the whole deal. And they can see Jesus over on the shore. Next thing they know, they see something walking towards them. And if you read the story carefully, they literally think it's a ghost. What's this? And they start panicking. Because now we out here in this storm, we're about to die, and we're seeing things. Peter says, Lord, no, you gotta, I think it's John's rendition that says Jesus literally walked past the boat. Jesus was walking so fast coming across this water, he walked right past them. There's a prophetic semblance there that if you're not aware who Jesus is, he'll walk past you in the midst of your storm. He walked right past them. And so they finally cry out, Lord, but they still ain't sure. So big mouth Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come. Now this is the craziest contract I've ever heard in my life. If it's really you, just tell me to come. And I'll come out there with you. So Jesus said, come on. No crazy Peter. 1 foot out. Put the other foot out. He started walking. Then he realized, I'm doing the impossible. This ain't even possible. How in the world am I? How in the world? This. And the Bible says, he began to look at the circumstance around him and began to sink. See, one of the things that happens as you begin to realize the impossible is you can't get caught up in it. You still have to realize the only way I'm able to do this is because of who I'm with. Now, people tell the story, preachers tell the story, and oh, Peter, he was going to drown. Oh, Peter, he lost sight of Jesus, but thank God for Jesus, he reached down and picked old Peter up. Don't be like Peter and get your eyes off of Jesus. Here's the part they miss. In all of history, there's only been two people who walk on water. Jesus and Peter. Because the Bible says that after Jesus took him by the hand, it says they walked back to the boat. But see, Peter had to come to the realization, I can't do this without him. Are you getting anything out of this? Is this helping you at all? Next. This is important. You need to know the testimony of someone who's received the impossible. Listen, if you believe in God for the impossible, you need to be praying, Lord, send me people that's experienced this level of impossibility. You know, when I'm believing God for healing, I read story after story after story about miraculous healing. I'm going to find stuff that's feeding my faith. I can't be reading stuff about folks, well, you know, maybe. I don't want to read no maybe stuff. See, the other thing is when you believe in God for the impossible, you have to be radical in your thinking. I literally will put people out of my presence that's not believing like me because I know how dangerous they are to what I'm believing for. Are you hearing me? So you have to know someone's testimony who's experienced the impossible. Watch this. Scripture. Luke 1:36. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her what? In her old age. And she who was called what? She who was called barren is now in her sixth month. So what does the angel do? The angel, first he talks to her about the impossibility, the possible impossibility that's going to happen to her. This is going to happen. It's impossible for man, but it's going to happen because God's involved. Then, as proof of God's ability to do the impossible, he tells her, here's the testimony of somebody that's already experiencing the impossible. He said, your own cousin, you know, the one never gave her husband any children. She's been walking around embarrassed because she couldn't produce no kids. She's been walking around not feeling like a whole woman because she couldn't give her husband an offspring. You know that one. You know the one they told her, now you might as well get some cats because this ain't going to happen for you. You know the one. You know the one they told her, you know, ain't nothing happening there now. That store closed for good. You know the one. You know the one they talked about her so bad because that one. She's already 6 months pregnant. God's already changed her situation. See, when you know somebody who has experienced the impossible, it makes believing for the impossibility that God has promised you that much easier. Because if he did it for them, why can't he do it for me? They ain't no better than me. And we know he doesn't love them any better than he loves me. That's impossible. How could God love anybody more than he loves me? So you have to know somebody. And you have to be willing to go. Sometimes the Bible says this. The Bible says the The glory of the Lord is to conceal a matter, but the honor of a king is to search it out. Sometimes God doesn't give you all the details. He wants you to go do some digging. So you have to find stories of people who were dealing with what you're dealing with and how God stepped into their situation. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he was telling me, I know who it was. He's a new friend, Pastor Dennis. Pastor Dennis was telling me how, he said, we had this property. He said, we were renting the property. He said, and it had like a 1,200 square foot building on it. He said, we were renting the property. He said, everything was good. He said, and we were renting it from this large church organization. He said, then the economy turned around, and they decided that they wanted to sell it. And they told me, since I had been a good tenant, that they would give me first right of refusal. Now, it was a 1,200 square foot building for the church, but then it had a parsonage on it, and then it had like 9 acres all up there by the Mall of Georgia, 9 acres. This is prime real estate. And so they said to him, you come with the offer, and we'll give you first right of refusal. He said, what kind of offer are you looking for? They said, $2 million. He said, that no $2 million. He said, let me have some time to pray about it. While he was praying, they came back to him. Said, you know what? We got another building over here. It's 6,000 square feet. And we'll give you that building for less than you was paying for this building. Y'all don't know. I was sitting there listening to that story going, and God is in the building business. Are y'all hearing me? And God, I know when God has me hearing stuff, he's telling me to build my faith. Last point. No matter the outcome, you have to be completely convinced of God's ability. No matter the outcome, you have to be completely convinced of God's ability. Here's why. Because if you base what you think and how you feel about God based on the outcomes you like, then you now have a performance-based relationship with God. As long as he's doing what you think he should do, you're good. And I told y'all last week, I've got somebody in my life I love dearly, but they've been in church as long as I have, but they're so immature, because as soon as things don't go the way they want it to go or don't go the way they think it should go, the first thing out of their mouth is, I just don't understand why God is not with me. I just don't understand why God has forsaken me. Are you hearing me? When we were praying for Kim's sister to be healed, there was not one. Now look, you got 1, 2, 3, 4. My wife is 5. You got 5 people who they definitely are saying, God is in this, God's going to move. Now the Bible says, in the midst of 2 or 3 witnesses, I am there in the midst of you, right? 5. We have 5. So we should have had enough God to get it done. Okay? We were believing so much so, I was so convinced that when I walked in that room, I was like, I'm going to walk in here, lay hands on Rachel. Rachel's going to sit up, and everybody going to praise Jesus. Are y'all hearing me? Here was the other side of our coin. If Rachel don't get up, we still know he's able. Are you hearing me? Now some of these crazy faith teachers, that's not faith. Not true. I'm gonna show you right now. Watch this. Now, before we get into this, I want to let you know that I'm reading from Daniel 3. This is the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, y'all know them by their hood names. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. Y'all know them by their hood names. Y'all, you know, but I know them by their saved names. All right? So this is Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. Now this is the king. The king's telling them what he's going to do to them. Here's their reply. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is what? Is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. He's able and he will. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So now, they can really get thrown. The Bible says that the king gave the order for them to make the oven 7 times hotter. It got so hot that when they opened it to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, the guys that were supposed to throw them in got burned. And so they get thrown in. But before they go in, while they're over there stoking the flames, getting it turned up 7 times hotter, they said, we know our God is able, but even if he doesn't. And so there has to be this faith in you, this understanding for the impossible that says, I know God is able. Now it's totally up to him whether or not he does it. Because see, I believe he will. It's not about can he. It's about whether he wills. Because see, John said it best. John said, if we ask anything in accordance with his will, he will do it. See, this is what the faith teachers keep missing, because they almost act like you by your faith can superimpose on God and make him do what you want him to do. But he's still sovereign. He's still the God of the universe. This is what the Bible says. I think it's James. James said, when you ask, he said, you ask amiss. And the word amiss means, he said, you heap it onto your own lust. You're asking for your own selfish purpose. You're not asking in accordance with what God has for you. Okay. Next, I got another one here, I think. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him. I can do all things through him. I can do all things through him. See how Paul positions that? I can do all things, but only, see, again, it's talking about his ability and my inability. When I was the church that we were part of in Ohio, that we pastored in Ohio, we used to sing songs I think it was Prophet Kim Clement who had come to our church, and Kim gave birth to a song. It was more like a prophetic chant that we had. I anticipate the inevitable, the supernatural intervention of God. I anticipate the inevitable, the supernatural intervention of God. And we would start singing that, and before you know it, miracles would start happening. Because you had people confessing, I'm looking for God to do something only he can do. Israel Houghton sang a song where he said, take the limits off. He just kept telling, take the limits off. Take the limits off. Release me. Release me. It was God saying, all you got to do is take the limits off of me. The only limits on me is what the ones you put on me. As soon as you let me be the supernatural God that I am, you'll experience more of my supernatural power. As soon as you realize that I really don't need your help, that this is a partnership where I choose to partner with you, I don't have to partner with you. You need me. See, y'all get mad when people go, you need me, I don't need you. Well, guess what? God is the one person in the universe that can tell you, you need me, I don't need you. All right. Hopefully this has helped you. I want you to be the kind of people that has easy access to the impossible realms of God. I want you to be the kind of people that people look at you and they go, there's something different about them. They're not just people who go to church. They're people who actually believe that they can do things other people can't do. This is why when I'm sitting in a restaurant, a couple weeks ago, we sitting in a restaurant, I'm going to have some chicken wings. My wife came and said, there's a lady over here. She's having trouble breathing. She's sitting right outside the ladies' room. She asked if you'd come pray for her. Chicken wings can wait. Evidently, I wasn't here for chicken wings. Are you hearing me? Because I'm constantly looking. God, show me how you can use me if I'll just be obedient. And let me say something to you. You have to be alert to the opportunities. You have to be looking for the places where God wants to use you supernaturally. So much so, I went to a golf tournament, professional golf tournament, about a year or so ago. And as I'm walking through the tournament, I keep asking God, what do you want to do here today? You want to do something here today? What do you want to do here today? And I see a guy, and he's missing the lower part of his left arm. And I said, boy, that would be fun. That's how I'm talking to God. I said, that would be fun. You want to do that? Because, see, this is how I try to live. I'm constantly asking God, what do you want to do? Are you hearing me? You have to be on mission to do the impossible. Let's give God a hand praise.